From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. And today in the 21st state and around the world, people of the Jewish faith are observing Hanukkah. Within the last hour, Governor J.B. Pritzker was in the James R. Thompson Center to light the state menorah.
In the history of the United States, there have been relatively few Jewish governors. You may know that. And Illinois, interestingly, has had the most Jewish governors. So it's a rare honor on Hanukkah to share my heritage and my faith with the people of Illinois as we unveil this State of Illinois menorah.
So to all those out there who celebrate, happy Hanukkah. Today on the show, we'll be talking with a pair of ISU professors who want to reshape the idea that young girls are a distraction, embodied in everything from school dress codes to campus policies on assault. That's later this hour. But first, once upon a time, major public universities with agricultural research and education departments received a lot of money from federal and state governments. But as public supports dried up over time, so-called AGUs have had to increasingly rely on private money, often from corporate donations. And here in Illinois and Iowa, two of the most productive agricultural states in the country, two of the major public universities have received the most corporate money for their ag schools, nearly $100 million to the University of Illinois, $50 million to Iowa State. Some of those corporate donors include companies like Monsanto, TIAA Cref, and Archer Daniels Midland, ADM. But there are concerns about what private corporations funding public research universities can mean for the school's scholarly independence from those funders. Questions about conflicts of interest, what type of research gets done, and who the research serves. A new three-part investigative series, Big Ag U, a collaboration between Harvest Public Media and Investigate Midwest, explores some of these issues. And we have three reporters who worked on the series with us now. Dana Cronin is with Illinois Newsroom and Harvest Public Media. Dana, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Brian.
Also with us is Katie Pikus, a reporter for Iowa Public Radio and Harvest Public Media. Katie, thank you for being here as well.
Thanks, Brian.
And finally, we're joined by Sky Chatty, managing editor of Investigate Midwest. Sky, welcome back to you as well.
Thank you for having me.
Listeners, as always, our lines are open for this conversation at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. If you have a question about big ag universities and their influence of corporate money, we're going to be getting into that. You can also tweet us at 21st show. But again, our phone number, 800-222-9455. All right, Dana, let's just start with the basics. Can you tell us how did this series come about and what's it looking at?
Sure. Yeah. You know, our goal was really to find out exactly how much corporations were giving to our respective public universities. As you mentioned in the intro, federal and state tax dollars have dwindled over the last decade. And in their place, corporations have really stepped in to provide that necessary funding. And so it's become increasingly common to see corporate names, you know, plastered all over university buildings. And our goal was to really find out how deep those financial connections run.
And Katie, what exactly is an ag college? Where are they? I presume it's not just the University of Illinois we're based, obviously.
Yeah, sure. So universities like the University of Illinois, Iowa State University, and Oklahoma State University, to name a few, they have institutions dedicated to teaching students about agriculture. And, you know, students come to study different things like soil management, crops, ecosystems, and so that they can eventually look for jobs in these industries that are so important to the Midwest.
So Sky, who is funding these agricultural universities? As state money and federal money has slipped, can you talk about these corporations and why they're giving so much money?
Yeah, it's really kind of a who's who of agricultural corporations. So we're talking people like Archer Daniels Midland, you know, Monsanto before they were bought by Bayer, companies along those lines. You know, another one would be Syngenta, which is a like a seed company. So, and they really give money, you know, like to fund research that is going to help them kind of down the road. You know, this is kind of like a force multiplier for their own research and development.
And what does that mean for the universities after the fact, after they have this money?
It can mean a couple things. It does mean, you know, they're getting more money from a different source. You know, it means they can build research centers. Sometimes it helps build buildings, you know. One of the other sides that we kind of detail in one of the stories is that, you know, donors kind of have a sense of ownership over what they're funding. Mm-hmm. You know, and that can lead to headaches for universities. The instance we detail in the one of the stories is that a high-level exec at Monsanto was not very happy with research that was going on related to dicamba, which is Monsanto product, and kind of raised the issue with the professor's boss. Yeah. That kind of problem went right to the chancellor of the University of Illinois.
Okay, I want to come back to that story in a little bit, but you know, just let's stay big picture for a minute here. And Dana, I gather these universities are in sort of a tricky position, right? They need money from these companies because the state support for higher education has decreased significantly over the last few decades. But I mean, does that leave the universities beholden in some way to these corporate interests?
Yeah, you know, it is kind of a catch-22 situation. It's a tough spot because, you know, universities do need this money to fund research. And, you know, it's hard to be too picky about where you're getting big donations from, but it can put these universities in weird positions and can even influence the research itself in the long term. I want to play a brief clip from Gabrielle McNally, who's with American Farmland Trust.
Corporate influence has that kind of, it's this much more tacit sort of control over the research agenda. And so it's a way for people to say, like, well, they're not controlling us. They're not like, they're not our puppet masters. But it's much more sort of, in a certain way, I think, like, it's so in the water that you're like, yeah, but we only research the crops that they're heavily investing in.
So Dana, I mean, what is the, I imagine you spoke to the other side for this story. I know you spoke to the other side for this story. What are some of the perspectives of what, you know, what value do these companies say they are adding to the universities? What's their side of the story?
Sure. Yeah. You know, we talked to a few different university officials at, you know, different public universities. A few of them pointed out to us that this corporate funding model can help keep important research funded in perpetuity, you know, regardless of whether a professor leaves a university and takes that research with, you know, him or her. And we also heard that this funding helps keep ag schools relevant and, you know, more in touch with what's going on within the industry.
All right, listeners, let me just take a moment to reintroduce my guests. If you're just joining us, we're talking about a new investigative series called Big Ag U, which is a collaboration between Investigate Midwest and Harvest Public Media about the role of corporate donations to agriculture schools at major Midwestern universities like the University of Illinois and others, and what those corporate donations can mean for scholarly independence. We're speaking with Dana Cronin from Illinois Newsroom and Katie Pikus from Iowa Public Radio. They're both also part of Harvest Public Media, and Sky Chatty, managing editor of Investigate Midwest. I suppose I should mention that the 21st show is based at Illinois Public Media, which is part of the University of Illinois, our home station. The license is owned by the Board of Trustees of the university, so full disclosure there. We invite you to join our conversation at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. You can also tweet us at 21st Show. So, Sky, you were mentioning earlier about some of the reporting about Monsanto and the University of Illinois. You said there was they were not happy with a professor's research into dicamba. Can you go on? What happened next then after, you know, the company?
Yeah,
go ahead.
sorry. The professor essentially gave a quote to a story saying that there was a lot more damage to crops from dicamba than had really been kind of showcased before.
And we should explain dicamba is a pesticide that, and there's some concerns that it's sprayed on one field, but then drifts over to neighboring farms. And go ahead. Yeah,
definitely. Thank you. So that article comes out. A man named Rob Fraley, who was the chief, essentially is trying to kind of chief science officer for Monsanto at the time, sends an email to the professor's boss, the head of the agriculture school at University of Illinois, saying that this is biased, this is exaggerated, and that he's not happy that this is the kind of thing associated with the University of Illinois. And leading up to all that was, Fraley was a very powerful donor to the University of Illinois. The emails that were shared with us from US Right to Know, a nonprofit organization, show that the university really did try to make Robert Fraley happy whenever it could. Like for instance, his wife asked for a signed football from Lovie Smith when he was the coach, and they kind of snapped to it. So leading up to this point, the university had tried to do pretty much everything in its power to keep him happy. But to the university's credit, when he sends this email, the head of the agriculture school pushes back saying that, you know, everyone needs, you know, the researcher needs to kind of have that independence to show what the research is showing.
Let's go now to the phones at 800-222-9455. Charles is calling in from Victoria. Charles, thanks for calling in.
Hi, thank you. I can say firsthand that the information that is coming from the university research is often suppressed when it runs contradictory to the goals and interests of the agricultural corporations, in particular to the environmental impacts. And then also, I have a concern about the patenting of the information that comes out of this research. A lot of times it is not shared with the farmers, but is used by the corporations for their own purposes. So it's definitely biased against independent research.
All right, Charles, thank you for the call. We appreciate your sharing your perspective. Dana, I don't know if you want to respond to anything that the caller said there, if that matches with anything you've been reporting on.
Right. I mean, I think that just falls in line with, a lot of the rabbit holes we went down in this series. I don't know if the caller was referring to something specifically, had a specific example in mind, but it's definitely akin to, things we heard from others as well.
All right. Let's, Katie, let me ask you, in your installment in the series, you look at how Iowa State went about building a new feed mill. What was the university trying to do there? Where did they end up getting the money for that?
Yeah, so Iowa State didn't already have its own feed mill. It sort of had some like old feed mixing equipment, old and worn out, and it wanted to build a feed mill and some other facilities that would go with it to use it for research and training, teach students about the feed and grain industry. And at the same time, it could crank out feed for the animal sciences department, and the college could also sell feed to farmers to feed goats, chickens, and fish. And the university ended up going to private donors for the money. They needed now $24 million. It started off at like $21.2 million, but construction costs have increased. So they're still fundraising for that. And construction is in progress, but agribusinesses have picked up a large portion of that tab of the overall private donors. And I found that the largest donors were these agribusinesses and industry based in Iowa, Kent Corporation, Sioux Cup Manufacturing Co., and the Iowa Corn Promotion Board were the biggest donors there.
Okay, we need to take a break here, but when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation, and specifically this what we've been talking about with Iowa. We have a couple of clips here, perspective of an organizer with an advocacy group, Food and Water Watch, and also a response from the dean of the Ag School at Iowa State. That is coming up after the break. We are speaking with Katie Pikus and Dana Cronin of Harvest Public Media and Sky Chatty, managing editor of Investigate Midwest, about their joint research series, Big Ag U, about the influence of corporate agriculture money on agricultural research and education programs at some of the biggest ag research universities, including the University of Illinois, the University of Iowa. This is the 21st. You can join our conversation always at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Other callers we have on the line, stay with us. We'll be right back after a short break. Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking about a series from Harvest Public Media and the group Investigate Midwest. It's called Big Ag U, and it looks at the influence of private corporate funding at public research universities, particularly when it comes to agricultural research and education at Midwestern universities, such as the University of Illinois and the University of Iowa. We're speaking with Dana Cronin from Illinois Newsroom and Harvest Public Media, Katie Pikus with Iowa Public Radio and Harvest Public Media as well, and Sky Chatty, who is managing editor of Investigate Midwest. 800-222-9455 is our number if you want to join our conversation. That's 800-222-9455. And let's begin with Joyce on the line from Peoria. Joyce, thank you for calling in.
Hey, thank you, and great topic. So appreciate it. How much of the funding is stifling honest answers to the environmental red flags we see right now, like bee colony collapse, loss of topsoil health, or bird die-offs? How much of this is not getting out in the truthful ag news because of the funding? Thank you.
All right. Thank you for that question, Joyce. Katie, I don't know if you want to weigh in on those particular topics, but I think it sort of fits in with what you were talking about. Some of the concerns were about that research at Iowa State we were talking about before the break.
Yeah, I don't know if there's like a direct answer to that question specifically, but I mean, you know, there are a lot of fears surrounding, you know, when universities rely on private donors. And, you know, I had looked into some of those fears, talked to some environmentalists, advocacy groups, things like that. And I think you have a clip from Emma Schmidt. She's the Iowa organizer for the national advocacy group, Food and Water Watch. So yeah, let's hear that clip.
And just in general, agribusiness as it stands right now is, you know, it's not about the small farmer. It's not about rural communities across Iowa. It's about Wall Street. It's about making a profit.
So Emma Schmidt is saying that she's concerned that when universities rely too much on industry funding, that it steers them away from putting the interest of the public front and center. And that what she said was sort of corroborated by, I had talked to Austin Frerich of the Thurman Arnold Project at Yale University as well. And he said, private money makes sense when you're putting it towards new buildings. But once there's research that begins, he's worried that science could be corrupted. He's worried that funders might interfere with what research is produced, and they might even have a say in what research isn't produced. And I think that that's sort of a broad point that applies to, you know, research across any university.
All right. While we're on this subject, though, let's talking about this research at Iowa in particular. I want to play another clip from Daniel Robeson, who's the dean of the Ag School at Iowa State.
It's funding that helps keep us relevant with respect to pragmatic needs that are on the ground. And there are many, many organizations, companies that are doing fundamental research as well. And so our ability to work with them and their interest in working with us speaks to, I think it speaks largely to our relevancy, frankly, to the industry that helps to support the production of food.
Katie, I don't know if you have anything you want to add to that or anything else that you learned from or that, you know, from the university's perspective or the company's.
Yeah, so the dean is saying that funding keeps them relevant. It keeps them competitive with other universities, you know, especially at a time where state funding is dwindling across Iowa and across other states as well. You know, they have to look to agribusinesses for funding. And, you know, in the case of the feed mill, Iowa State's Feed Mill and Grain Science Complex Center, as the facility is called, they saw a chance with industry right away. And they felt, oh, industry is going to be willing to fund this. You know, they needed a facility like this as much as Iowa State did. They could benefit from graduates coming into their, into roles at their companies. So, you know, it's sort of the partnerships like this work out really well for universities and for agribusinesses because they both benefit in various ways.
All right. And Dana, I want to ask you about another installment in the series. And I should mention that all three pieces from the series are going to be, we'll link them from our website, 21stshow.org, if people want to read more in depth about what we've been talking about. But Dana, you look at TIAA CREF, which is, retirement investment money, sort of investment firm. I guess it doesn't have to be retirement, but specifically their interest in farmland. Can you talk about who is TIAA CREF? What are they doing with farmland?
Right. Yeah. I don't think it's the connection that most people know them for. As you mentioned, you know, most people probably know them as a manager of retirement accounts at public universities in a lot of cases. But, you know, part of that giant investment portfolio is in farmland because farmland is a really good investment. And TIAA actually claims to be the number one manager of farmland in the world through its acquisition of a group called Westchester, which is actually based here in Champaign. But TIAA has been involved in some controversy in the way they acquire and manage their farmland. I won't go into all of the details, but you know, I'd say most notably a few years ago, they were caught up in a land grab scandal with some of their farmland holdings in Brazil.
Okay, but what is, so we won't go into more detail about this thing in Brazil, but what is their connection to the University of Illinois?
Right. So in 2013, TIAA CREF donated $5 million to the University of Illinois Ag School to start a research center. That donation was the fourth largest gift the Ag School has received in the last decade. And it founded the TIAA Center for Farmland Research at the U of I. The goal of which is, you know, essentially to study farmland, farmland values, and how farmland can be leveraged as a commodity, basically, or an asset, which is obviously of great interest to TIAA.
And what is the, so I guess, what are the effects of the center, right? Who's it for?
Right. So, you know, we spoke at length with the TIAA Center's director who said, the center serves anyone who cares about farmland values, which is not just TIAA, but also, you know, farmers, crop insurance people, other investors.
Right?
You know, we also talked to others who said it's more of a self-serving model. I want to play a clip from Doug Hertzler. He's from ActionAid USA.
You know, we need to be looking at farm policies which would strengthen small-scale farmers and make land more accessible to them. People that have a worldview that playing the market is what matters aren't thinking about the well-being of those rural communities.
So this is really just another example of how, you know, corporate gifts can have more of a tacit control over what gets researched, what the focus is on, and what doesn't.
Okay, so I guess big picture question to end on, and Sky, maybe I'll ask this to you. I mean, overall, what is the big takeaway from this series, right? What should people be thinking about corporate money and how it affects public universities and what that means for education and research?
I think what people should take away from all this is just knowing that a major source of funding for universities, it's not just the government, it is these kind of these corporations that, you know, they are interested in the things that, you know, make them money. And so I think that's kind of the biggest takeaway, is just knowing that where a lot of this funding is coming from and how it can potentially kind of narrow what is being researched at these kind of top flight public universities.
All right, I want to thank my guests. They have been Sky Chatty with Investigate Midwest, Katie Pikus, Iowa Public Radio, and Dana Cronin, Illinois Newsroom. They're both also with Harvest Public Media. The series is called Big Ag U. You can find a link to it at our website, 21stshow.org. Dana, Katie, and Sky, thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st and sharing your reporting with us.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you.
Thank you.